The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Pam from Northford, Connecticut, and I religiously listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
And Pam always tells the truth.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 260 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast. And with me on the show today is March Michelle Scribner-McLean, Dr. March Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Dr. March Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Mike, I really don't know how you come up with these names. I think you must spend hours and hours trying to figure out nicknames to call me.
Yes, I do.
And yet I just call you Mike.
Yes, you do.
How are you today?
Are you mad?
Because it's March?
I'm mad because it's March and my brackets are. And actually, we'll be talking about brackets later on this week. But anyways, it's time for a shout-out and maybe an announcement or two. We'll see.
Sure. Well, the shout-out today is to Janie Gillette. And she posted a picture she PR'd on her 8K, which is kind of a nice distance.
Wow.
Congratulations, Janie. Announcements? Well, we still have people who are signing up for our Mickey Miles podcast cruise in January. And I think we have about, 15 or 16 cabins worth of people going. So we're going to have a fun time planning that out. And I guess the only other announcement is that we're both going to Wine and Dine, and we're going to be planning a special event. And the special event is going to be on Sunday the 8th, so just hold the date, and we'll give details.
That's what I was looking for, because we are in the process. We're pretty close to actually focusing in on exactly where and when our dessert party will be, and as soon as we have that information, we will post it on the Facebook page, and we will also announce it on the very next show.
Yeah, so it's going to be at night, and, in the past, what have we done for events? We've done breakfast. It's not going to be a breakfast.
Breakfast, we've done brunch, we've done the meet and greet with Mickey. Oh, no, that was somebody else.
Dessert parties. We always have our buddies at MEI Travel helping us to plan these out, and they're really fun. They're really, really fun. So keep the date if you think you want to go.
Michelle, let me throw that out. Let me throw this out there. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have a dessert party in France?
It would be nice if we could have a dessert party in France.
You never know.
Uh-huh.
You never know. And you never know when we're going to get to the end of the questions. So we have a question show. I'm going to try to catch up to all the questions that have been patiently waiting for us to get to them. And we will start off with Michelle reading the very first one. Take it away, Michelle.
Okay, our first question is from our good buddy James Knowles, who's a Mickey Miler. And he wants to know, where is the best place to stay in order to be closest to the starting line for the Disneyland race? Harvard Boulevard or Catella Ave? I haven't been to Disneyland since 1975, so I'm not exactly sure of the layout. Thanks, as always, Mickey Miler, James Knowles. Mike, should I jump in and answer this one?
Of course.
Okay. So the real answer for this, James, is it really depends. So on Harbor Boulevard, there are places all up and down the street that you can stay. And also Catala Ave, there are places up and down that you can stay. If you stay on Harbor Boulevard, I would try to get sort of in the middle between Downtown Disney and, in the middle between Disneyland and California Adventure. Then you can walk through Downtown Disney to get to the race start. If you stay on Catala Ave, you should go as far as you can close to Disneyland Drive, and then you could just walk down Disneyland Drive, which is where most of the races start. So I'm going to give you my plug for where, I'm assuming that you're staying off property. I stayed at the Candy Cane Inn, which is very nice and was recommended to me and booked by my MEI travel person. That's on Harbor Boulevard. They have a shuttle that you can use, but it's also, I just walked right down to the middle between Disneyland and California Adventure and walk right through Downtown Disney. It was about, I wouldn't say it was a mile, but maybe a mile. It's a nice place, very inexpensive. They serve free breakfast, and the breakfast is pretty good. And that's where I'd recommend. So once again, if you're staying on Harbor Boulevard, stay towards or in the middle between those two parks. And if you're staying on Catala Ave, stay down towards the Disneyland Drive. Mike, do you have anything to add?
I just want to add one more thing. If you're looking at a map, James, if you take a look at the map, if you look to the right, or I guess you could say to the east of where the Disneyland Resort is, you'll notice there's a road that says Disney Way. So you want to, I would suggest trying to stay at a hotel to the north of Disney Way. I think you'd be closer to Disneyland and just a little bit closer to the Downtown Disney District. Disney Way is almost right across the street from it, so you may want to stay there. Everything's pretty close. Michelle and I have stayed on the property and off the property. There are some good prices around. Again, the best people to talk to is a vacation planner, like those who work for MEI.
Yeah, the nice thing about Disneyland is there are all those good neighbor hotels, and definitely that's what you want to look for, is something that's branded a good neighbor hotel. You can go on and just do a Google search for Disneyland good neighbor hotels. They can be far away. Mike, I think that for one race, you and I stayed a little bit further out and had to take a shuttle. So, of course, the best place to stay really is on Disney property. When we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel, you just had to roll out of bed, and you're basically at race start. It's amazing. It's amazing. But Paradise Pier and the Grand Californian are also great options, too.
Yep. Next question comes from John. And John says, I'm listening to episode 259. I've heard a question about getting swept. I haven't run too many Run Disney races, but I did run the 2015 Marathon at Walt Disney World and the 2015 Rebel Challenge at Disneyland. Getting swept was in the back of my mind during the marathon, but I never saw the balloon ladies or a bus or a bike squad, but I did see the balloon lady and a bike squad while waiting for a photo with Darth Vader during the 10K. I waited a long time for the photo, and I wish I could remember the time, but it was a little bit more than 15 minutes. At some point, I did see the balloon lady go by, and then I got to about, and I got about three people away from my turn for a photo, and a bike squad pulled up and said that if we didn't make the next mile marker in 3 minutes, there was going to be a hard sweep. As I'm hearing this, I'm seeing people jogging and walking the course. Some people behind me left the photo line and started running to the mile marker. I decided to roll the dice and wait for my picture. I got my picture and made it to the mile marker and didn't get swept. I'm not sure if anyone did, but the staff did try to get people moving. Bottom line is that I think that if Run Disney needs to sweep runners, they will do so that the parks can get ready to open for the day. Well, Michelle, it's not a question, but I think what John wanted to say is that yes, 10Ks, you will be dealing with the pace requirement as well as if you would for a marathon and a half.
It's a really interesting way to deal with it too. It would seem to me that if I were running the race, I would close down the line so that I wouldn't have to come and sort of threaten people, kind of strong arm them. They gave them a choice whether or not to leave the line, of course, and John opted not to, but wouldn't it make sense to just shut the line down, in a timely fashion to make sure that people get to that mile marker?
It makes sense, Michelle. So if you have a 10K And let's say you have five photo opportunities for the runners to have a photo taken with a character. The very first photo opportunity should have a time limit. In other words, you're running a 10K, and guess what? Oh, there's Goofy. So Goofy is there, but if a runner doesn't get to Goofy by 16 minutes, Goofy's gone. And why even tempt the runners if they could get swept? Imagine, I mean, you could almost make an argument saying, well, wait a minute, why did they have a character there for me to take a photo if I was that close to being swept? They should have told me that. And telling me that would be better than I'm in line and they're giving me a flagging. They're flagging me. So
how else could they do it, though? Do you think that they could position the characters like in the last mile so that people could run to the last mile and then really take their time, or have all the character pictures after the race? I mean, that I know one of the things that people like about running Disney races is those characters along the way, but I don't know.
I think what should happen is that, and we talked with Mark Lorenzo about this with the Rebel Challenge weekend, or Star Wars weekend, I should say. If there is a pasta party the night before, all the characters that are in the pasta party would be the same ones that are in the race. Mm-hmm. And Disney should make that known. So, and think about it. If you knew that Darth Vader and all these people are going to be, all these characters are going to be at the pasta party, and you can have a very leisurely time waiting to get them, then you wouldn't have to worry about getting your photo taken with them the next day. Sure, you won't be in your running gear, but think of it. It's giving you the option. And number two, it's saying to a lot of people, you know, you can come here. Yeah, you're going to have to, you will be charged a fee, but a lot of people would gladly do that and not have to worry about it the next day. So I think that's something that Run Disney should think about doing.
But, Mike, you don't go to the pasta party.
I know. Mm. I also don't have my picture taken
right,
with the character.
Right, that's true. So that's, well, you know what, John, I really appreciate your writing in, because we certainly have our eyes and ears on the ground at all these races, but it's so nice to get different perspectives. So we like it when people write in without a question, but just kind of telling us their race experience too. So thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John. Next question is for Michelle to read.
Okay, so it's from Rich Bernardo, and he says, hello, have enjoyed your contributions and wisdom to Walt Disney World Today for many years, but never came to this side of the street until today. Who's on Walt Disney World Today? Is that you?
Yeah, I guess some guy that reads real fast.
Okay. At 67, I've decided to try some formal running, if you can call what I'm doing running. Pointing toward a 5K or two this year, I've got a trainer, and the doctor has cleared me to get in shape, and I have been progressing well. Congratulations, Rich. My daughter and I decided that we would do the 5K Jingle Jungle on November 7th. Promptly at noon on March 17th, I signed up to register us. After quite a while of trying and retrying, I was put 120th in the queue to sign on, and some 30 minutes later, it was my turn, only to find out the event was full. That's really interesting to me, because how do you know you're 120th in the queue? I don't know. I have no idea how I could have been any faster. We were very disappointed. Today, my trainer told me that I might have luck joining a group that is running for charity. We would be very happy to do that. Can you point us towards a group that might be able to let us join them?
Okay, Rich, you're not the first one that has asked a question of that, and I can tell you that there is still, as far as I know, as of this recording, I believe there's still some opportunity to go that route. You actually have two options. You can go with a travel provider, one of the Disney travel providers, and see if they have any bibs, or you can go with a one of the Run Disney charity groups. And how do you find them? Well, you go to the Run Disney site and you go to the Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend area. When you get there, you'll see that there are tabs. I want you to click on the registration tab, and then you'll see some more options. On the options, I want you to click on Run for a Cause. When you click on that, you'll get a list of all the Run Disney charity groups programs. And each one has its own requirement for raising money. Now, one of the things that you'll see as you go through them, you know, look, you may want to look for something that just connects with you, and you may say, you know, I think I really want to support this group or that group. Some of them may, I know that some of them are sold out. Some of them still have bibs. Some of them go from range. I think the range, and I may need to be corrected, but I looked at this the other day. The range of fundraising is anywhere from around $500 to maybe $3,500. So you may want to think about, you know, what charity you'd like to work towards and how much you think you can fundraise. So think about that. You can also go with a travel provider. So that'd be the way I would go. That's what I've been advising people. And
so, Mike, is it for the 5K too, or just for the half marathon? Let's walk through one of them. So let's. How about we do an example? One of the charities is called Noah's Light Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's for in support of a cure for children's brain cancer. And if we look at the Jingle Jungle 5K, it is. $750 to register for the 5K plus a $25 non-refundable registration deposit. And what that gets you is one slot in the 5K, one room night during the race at a host resort. So that's not too bad.
No.
You get a runner accessory package and all the benefits provided by Run Disney. I don't know what that means, but and then by contrast, the half marathon is $1,250, but the hotel night, which you would pay for anyway, right?
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, this is just one example of what you can find. They're all different. They all have different requirements. They all have different ways of getting you into the race. So I would give that a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, let us know what happens, please. We hope that you're able to get in and run with your daughter.
Okay. Next question comes from Steve Moss, who says, I wanted to share with you that I completed my first marathon last Sunday in perfect weather and great form, and I owe a lot of it to your show. I was able to utilize a lot of advice from both you and all of the guests that you have. I did break the don't change anything on race day rule, but I made my wife buy my 26.2 magnet, so it wouldn't be bad luck. I was listening to your interview with Fitz about cross-training and wanted to weigh in by saying how much CrossFit has done for my running. That's exactly how I knew I could change my running form on race day to follow the advice I received from a physical therapist at the Race Expo. I don't think that I understood the mid-strike advice until then. He talked about pushing with your whole leg from the glutes to the hammies and down through the calves. In CrossFit, they call this the posterior chain, and I've spent the last several months strengthening mine. I was able to easily up my pace by a fair bit to comfortably hit my target pace without slowing down at the end of the race, and it was a great feeling. I always do my training runs with podcasts or audiobooks, but can't bring myself to be that distracted from a race, so I couldn't spend my run catching up on your podcast.
What? Steve!
He says it's a good decision since I would have tripped right at the beginning when you mentioned me in a shout-out. Anyway, thanks for the great show and the inspiration. I hope to see you at a Run Disney race someday. Until then, I'll keep to my local races and run with you in spirit. So, Michelle, again, we're hearing from Steve here that how valuable. And we talked with Fitz, and she mentioned how cross-training can really, really help. Strengthening your core and everything. This is an example of how it can pay off. But you really have to be committed to it. You really have to be disciplined, and it'll pay off.
I agree. And I also want to jump in and say how valuable it is to have massage, too. I know that, Mike, I don't think you've ever had a massage. I get them regularly, but I've been having IT band issues, and to have somebody go in and work on those muscles really helps me out a lot too. So there are a lot of other things that you can do other than running to help improve your running, and cross training and massage are two ways that work for me. All right, our next question is from Rhett Umpress. And Rhett says, hey, Mickey Milers, been listening to the podcast for about a month or so, I'd say, and I love it. Looking forward to my first Disney race at the Wine and Dine in November. But I was thinking about the registration issues and the speedy sign-up that occurred this week And I was wondering, do you think Disney will ever switch to a lottery system for signing up? Just a thought. I'd like to see what other people think. I think this could actually be a show unto itself. I'd love to have a panel discuss this. Mike, what do you think?
I don't think so, Rhett, because, I mean, think of it this way. If you have a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, two running buddies, and I've heard from a lot of them, will say, you know, my running buddy got in, but I didn't get in. If you had a lottery, wouldn't that be the same? Wouldn't you be in the same deal? What if somebody gets in let's say your wife gets in, but you don't get in. Let's say you get in and your wife doesn't get in. What do you do? Is it still a problem? What I would like to see, and I don't know if everyone would be agreeable to this, is I would like to see Disney say, if you get in, you can register yourself and a friend. I think that would be good. I think when you get into a lottery, I think there's all kinds of issues that come into play. I'd also like Disney to consider, well, if these weekends are really that popular, maybe have back-to-back races. For instance, you can do the half marathon on Saturday or do it on Friday. Make it a long weekend.
Yeah, remember after we did the marathon relay, the Chippendale one and only marathon relay, they had a question about how would you like it if there was one half marathon on one day and one half marathon on the next?
I've been asked that by one of the Disney officials in years ago, and I said, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think the whole idea is to allow as many people as possible. The other thing that I think is in the back of my mind is that in order for them to cut down on the number of people who are going to do these races, reduce the pace requirements to 14 minutes per mile. That would eliminate a lot of people. But getting back to what Rhett said, I just cannot see a lottery.
So I don't know if I'm going to agree, because this past Wine and Dine sign up, I did hear of spouses who were not able to sign up their spouse. So it's pretty much what you're saying, that this system allows you to work around. It's not happening anymore because Wine and Dine sold out in 40 minutes. So, you know, if we look at big races like the New York City Marathon, where there's a lottery, people wait and, you know, they put in their name and then they wait and see if they got in. The difference between that and a Run Disney race is that there's only one New York City Marathon a year, and managing that lottery, I think, must be a lot of work. But Run Disney races, there are so many. Can you imagine if we had lotteries for every single one? You'd be putting your name in and waiting to see if you could plan your vacation. And I don't know. I don't know if it would work. It's an interesting question.
How about this for an option, Michelle? You don't get in. Those who did not get in, they are given a special code. And they can use that code to register for the following year's race weekend.
They would be given first priority?
Their first priority. Not only first priority, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are given those codes, those are the only people who can register. And those who had registered for this year, who are able to get lucky to get in, they have to wait.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we should definitely have a show about this. I do feel for people who are newer to running Disney, who don't understand what you really have to do is to get an AP, get on early, or to get there right when registration opens. It makes me feel really sad that people who are kind of new to it, because when you and I first started Run Disney, these races, you know, we'd have a few months. We could think about it and commit to it. And gosh, I remember, I think when I first did my first half marathon, it was probably like, I don't know, June or July before the January half marathon sold out. So I don't know. It's a good question. I definitely want to have a show about this, though.
My first year, they sold out around Thanksgiving.
Wow. Yeah. Things have changed.
Next question comes from Amy Chase, who says, "You're getting close to episode 262. Are you going to do a marathon episode?" So I guess 262 is like 26.2.
I think that's a great idea. I would love to do that. What do you think, Mike?
Well, what do you mean by a marathon episode?
So we could do, and this is just how we brainstorm off the air. We're talking about what shows to have. We could do a podcast about getting ready for your first marathon,
okay,
or thinking of your first marathon,
sure,
or how I tackled my first marathon. Or why I keep doing marathons.
Well, it may be after episode 262 because we have a lot to discuss between. We have a lot of things on the table that we need to discuss.
What episode are we on now?
We're on 260.
Oh, all right. So it would have to be next week that we'd have to record this. Yeah, we could do that.
We've got a whole bunch of things in the queue. So.
Yeah.
Good point, Amy. And our last question, shall we read? It's from Jonathan and Julie Walker.
So Jonathan and Julie say, my wife wanted to run a 5K this morning, and I wanted to go to Disney World. So we compromised. Using the course map that you made of the Magic Kingdom Fantasy 5K, we ran 3.1 miles in the park. We got to the Magic Kingdom a little after it opened at 8 a.m. After getting a locker and a quick restroom stop, we were on our way. We couldn't run the entire thing, you know, with the tourists about. But it was fun, and I even got to high-five Stitch while he waited for guests to line up for him. So <Wow. laughs> you probably got to a character faster than you would have in a regular 5K. That's so neat. So if people don't know what Jonathan and Julie are talking about, Mike, can you remind them what we did?
We were in the park with Eve Vanderpool, and you, Eve, and myself, we walked through and you tried to figure out how to do a 5K, and it was very, very difficult. And I believe Phil and Eve Vanderpool afterwards tried it, and they came up with as good, if not a better, course. And one of the problems that we all realized was that the gathering area would be the big issue there, and getting everybody out in time. But that was kind of interesting that Jonathan and Julie decided to do that.
I would and thank you for telling us about that. I would love to know how you followed the course as you were running around. And I'd also love it if people have other ideas for in the park races to let us know. And maybe we'll have you on the show to share your race course.
And we are all caught up with questions. Yay. So we will close this edition of the Mickey Miles podcast and ask again that you send your questions in. If we can't find an answer, we will do some research and we will find that for you. So keep them coming. And last words, Michelle.
Well, you can send your questions in to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. But we also have a phone number that a lot of people don't use. You can actually call in your questions and we will put your questions on the air. The phone number is 407-545-2141. So if you leave a voice message, we will play your name on the air. We'll play your question on the air.
So for Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.